Whether trying to prop up a stock market, justify a war, win an election, or lure a terrorist out of hiding, the world's power brokers relied on massive disinformation schemes to help shape public perception. It had always been this way. In the 60s, the Russians built an entire fake spy network that dead-dropped bad intel that the British intercepted for years. In 1947, the U.S. Air Force manufactured an elaborate UFO hoax to divert attention from a classified plane crash in Roswell, New Mexico. And more recently, the world had been led to believe that weapons of mass destruction existed in Iraq. For nearly three decades, the provost had helped powerful people protect, retain, and increase their power. Although he was exceptionally careful about the jobs he accepted, the provost had always feared that one day he would take the wrong job. And now that day has arrived. Every epic collapse, the provost believed, could be traced back to a single moment. A chance meeting, a bad decision, an indiscreet glance. In this case, he realized, that instant had come almost a dozen years before, when he agreed to hire a young med school student who was looking for some extra money. The woman's keen intellect, dazzling language skills, and knack for improvisation made her an instantaneous standout at the consortium. Sienna Brooks was a natural. Sienna had immediately understood his operation, and the provost sensed that the young woman was no stranger to keeping secrets herself. Sienna worked for him for almost 2 years, earned a generous paycheck that helped her pay her med school tuition, and then, without warning, she announced that she was done. She wanted to save the world, and as she had told him, she couldn't do it there. The provost never imagined Sienna Brooks would resurface nearly a decade later, bringing with her a gift of sorts, an ultra-wealthy prospective client, Bertrand Zobrist. The provost bristled at the memory. This is Sienna's fault. She was a party to Zobrist's plan all along. Nearby, at the C-130's makeshift conference table, the conversation was becoming heated, with WHO officials talking on phones and arguing. Sienna Brooks? One demanded, shouting into the phone. Are you sure? The official listened a moment, frowning. Okay, get me the details. I'll hold. He covered the receiver and turned to his colleagues. It sounds like Sienna Brooks departed Italy shortly after we did. Everyone at the table stiffened. How? One female employee demanded. We covered the airport, bridges, train station? Nicelli Airfield, he replied, on the Lido. Not possible, the woman countered, shaking her head. Nicelli is tiny. There are no flights out. It handles only local helicopter tours and... Somehow Sienna Brooks had access to a private jet that was hangared at Nicelli. They're still looking into it. He raised the receiver to his mouth again. Yes, I'm here. What do you have? As he listened to the update, his shoulders slumped lower and lower until finally he took a seat. I understand. Thank you. He ended the call. His colleagues all stared at him expectantly. Sienna's jet was headed for Turkey, the man said, rubbing his eyes. Then call European Air Transport Command, someone declared. Have them turn the jet around. I can't, the man said. It landed 12 minutes ago at Hazarfen Private Airfield, only 15 miles from here. Sienna Brooks is gone.